Be seated. We will start. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. We have no flowers for you. We have no screwdrivers or power tools. But instead, we are going to honor our Father by having our regular worship service. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Dear God, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we pray that we could do your will. We pray that our church could be your kingdom the way you want it to be, and that we could be a light shining to others. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to Matthew 24. Our class all year has been about the kingdom of God. We started in the Old Testament, then we spent most of the year going through the Gospel of Matthew, looking at Jesus' teaching on the kingdom. The past 2 weeks, Ron Frazier taught the parables that Jesus taught right at the end of his ministry. I thought the classes were excellent. Let's give him a hand. Is he here? He's not here. Okay, well, he's in Canada. I forgot about that. Okay, well, he'll listen to it on the lesson and hear the applause. And you can encourage him when you see him. Today is our last class on the book of Matthew. So we can all say, oh, about that. I do. But we are not done with our class. We are going to spend a few more weeks surveying the rest of the New Testament on the kingdom of God and the rest of the New Testament. So next week, Bill Francis will teach on the kingdom of God in Acts. The week after that, Jeff Mueller will teach on the kingdom of God in the letters of Paul, which could be a course in and of itself, but he's going to summarize it in one class. And then Gary Roberson is going to teach a class on the kingdom in Hebrews. And then in 4 weeks, I will finish our class on the kingdom of God with the kingdom of God in the book of Revelation. Amen. Amen. Okay. Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, here in Matthew 24, the disciples ask Jesus about when he will come again. They ask about the end of the age. Jesus says many interesting things, which are hard to understand. Matthew and Mark both tell us they're hard to understand. Maybe it was hard to understand for them. And I'm not going to try and figure it all out today. But I did want to focus on this amazing statement that Jesus makes. He says that the good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world, which we have up there from Apollo 17, the whole world, as a testimony. And then the end will come. And, you know, that's a cool thing to think about, that the good news of God's kingdom being proclaimed in every nation throughout the whole world. You know, and we are a part of this. We are a part of this. We have many nations represented right here in our church. I think we counted them up. Y'all remember on International Sunday, we put the flags up. We have, I don't know, 25, 26, 27 nations represented right here in our church. So we are a part of that, proclaiming to all nations. We are proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom to our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers. And we live in an international community. There are lots of people we reach out to who are from other countries. It's been a couple of months ago now, but the Galbraiths were having dinner with us at a restaurant, and we met someone from, of all places, Zambia. That was the first person I'd ever met from Zambia. I've since met two more, but that was kind of amazing. And it was so we invited her to church. We tried to get her out when the McKenyas were here, but she didn't come. But anyway, that's the kind of community we live in. You know, we see people from all nations. You know, we also help spread the gospel outside of Gwinnett. We sent the Cadet family, helped send them to Haiti to lead the church there. and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom in Haiti. And that's, of course, what our missions contribution is all about. As we've done for several years, we're going to send $40,000 to proclaim the kingdom of God in Africa. And that's a cool thing. And we're going to set aside some other money to help with travel so that some of us can go to different places and help build up the churches in other countries. I hope you're excited about that. I hope you're excited about what our missions contribution is going to do. And it's helping this verse come true. You know, when we share the gospel, when we reach out to people, we are helping this verse come true. Amen? Amen. We're also going to participate in the walkathon for Africa in September. And that we're going to be raising money to help children in Africa. And that, again, is part of spreading the good news of the kingdom, that disciples want to help the disadvantaged, orphans. That's what we want to do. So that'll be spreading the good news of the kingdom as well. You know, we tried to show the video last week. It didn't work. But, you know, there are people over there who appreciate what disciples in America do when they send money to help hope help them and their children. And that spreads the kingdom as well. So we can be encouraged. We are part of the fulfillment of Jesus' statement right here, that the gospel is spreading to all nations. Amen? Amen. Turn to Matthew 26. We're familiar with the Lord's Supper. We celebrate it every Sunday. We are familiar with the scriptures about it, since we hear about them every Sunday. But let's focus on what Jesus says about the kingdom. Matthew 26, verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So, amen. We're very familiar with this passage. Jesus is talking about his death that he's about to experience in just a couple of days. And he tells them about the bread and the wine, fruit, the wine, celebrating his body and blood. And we still do that today, right? We're going to do that later today. We're going to do this in remembrance of Jesus and what he did. But he also looks forward. He looks forward to God's eternal kingdom, to the kingdom in heaven when he will sit down with the disciples again and drink wine new in his Father's kingdom. You know, the Bible says that Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. And that's what he's talking about here. He's focusing on the joy set before him, that because he's going to go to the cross and die, we will be forgiven of our sins, and we can be with him one day in his Father's kingdom, and we can drink wine with him. We can have a feast with him, like Ron talked about last week in the parable of the wedding banquet. You know, we have that to look forward to as well. You know, we are part of God's kingdom, and we can look forward to drinking wine or having a feast with Jesus in his eternal kingdom one day. You know, we can look forward to that. You know, there's a lot of prophecy about that in the Bible, about the great banquet, the wedding feast that will take place that day when we see Jesus. In Revelation, it talks about the wedding supper of the Lamb, and we'll see that everyone who comes, who's invited to that, is blessed, and that's us. You know, the Old Testament prophesied about that in Isaiah. It talks about the great feast that God will give us on his mountain one day. So we can look forward to that. That's what a lot of the parables are about, like the great banquet there, urging us to look forward to what God is going to give us in his eternal kingdom. You know, he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. You know, we're going to walk the street of gold. We're going to be there. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see the river of life and drink from it, see the tree of life and eat from it. You know, that day is going to come. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. We have the kingdom of God now, and we are striving to be the kingdom of God now on earth, but we also have the eternal kingdom of God to look forward to. That'll be a joy beyond all comparison. Just Steve Galbraith and I were talking about the other day. He's been studying heaven. I think we're going to hear that from him in a lesson sometime soon. But just how amazing that will be. Just the unbelievable joy. And that's what we have to look forward to. Amen? And this can inspire us. It inspired us to get through the trials and difficulties that we face in this life. It can inspire us to get up in the morning, that we have that one day. Get us through difficulties and inspire us to proclaim the good news of the kingdom to others, because we want them to share that joy with us, to our family, our friends, our coworkers. We want them to be there with us. So it's a great thing to know that we have that hope and promise in the future. Amen? Turn to Matthew 28. We are very familiar with the Great Commission. But let's think about it as we read it in light of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God theme throughout the book of Matthew that we've been studying now for months. We know how many times Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. We now know all the things that he said about the kingdom of God. All the parables that he taught, all the statements that he made, and the teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, all of that. And here at the end of Matthew, let's think about that as we read the Great Commission. 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus says all authority has been given to him. He's the king. You know, it's his kingdom. All authority has been given to him. He has dominion. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So he's emphasizing that here. It's his kingdom. And because of that, it says, therefore, because he is the king, because he has all authority, because he established his kingdom on earth, we are to go and make disciples. That's why. Because he's the king. Because we become part of his kingdom, that we go and make disciples. And what are disciples? They're people who've made Jesus Lord. Right? People who have accepted him as their king. You know, so when we go and make disciples, we are spreading the kingdom of God. We are doing what the first verse I read says. The kingdom is being proclaimed in all nations, and more people are becoming part of the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is how we fulfill that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, is we go and make disciples. We go and persuade other people to become part of the kingdom of God. Amen? Then he says, teach them to obey everything. So that he's talking about us. We teach each other to obey everything. So again, we are learning to obey Jesus, learning to be part of his kingdom, learning to put into practice the things we learned from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught, his commands. That's what he's telling us to do. To help teach each other Jesus' commands, the way people in the kingdom ought to live, ought to treat each other, the kind of relationship they ought to have with God. All of those things that we've been learning the past few months, he's summarizing here. He's saying, teach those things to each other. You know, help each other live by those things. Hold each other to those things. Encourage each other. You know, hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what he wants us to do. We'll be blessed if we are. Be poor in spirit and recognize that I need people to help me. I need people to help me. To teach me, to show me. You know, we all need that. I need that. You know, to continue to grow in Christ, to continue to be more of what he wants us to be. And then it says he'll be with us. You know, he walks with us every step of the way. And that's encouraging. It's encouraging to know that Jesus is always with us. He's not just some remote king out there, way out there, that we're supposed to fear and obey, but he's right there with us every step of the way. He's given us his Spirit, and we have his mercy when we fall short. We have his encouragement. We have those promises that he's going to comfort us when we mourn. Those things that he's given us the kingdom. He's given it to us. It's a gift. We have it, and we can rely on that. Then he says, to the very end of the age, God's kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It's going to last. You know, that's why I have it up there. It's breaking into Atlanta, right? And that's what we do as we share with other people. The kingdom is breaking in more and more to Atlanta and to the people we know. And it's going to last to the very end of the age. It's not going to fade away. It will be here at the end. There will be disciples, part of Jesus' kingdom, for however long it is between now and when Jesus comes again. They will be here. The kingdom is eternal, a kingdom that lasts, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and a kingdom where one day we will sit down and drink wine new with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of the Gospel of Matthew. If you turn the page, there's no more Matthew. That's the end. So we have covered it. We have looked at all of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God. And I thought we would spend a few minutes just reviewing. And that's sort of the three main divisions of our class over the past few months. What I thought I'd do is open it up for some comment. You know, what did you learn? What most affected you about the things that we've covered in the kingdom of God? What most touched your heart? Whatever it was that affected you the most. And we'll go through by sort of category here, but I just want to open it up. We started at the beginning of the class with the vision, the Old Testament vision and the New Testament vision for what the kingdom of God is like. Harold taught some classes, and I taught some classes sort of from the beginning of Matthew about Jesus' vision for the kingdom. So anybody have anything, I know that was months ago, but anybody have anything from that part of the class that you learned or that affected you or that you wanted to comment on? It's a long time ago, I know.
I shared that, for a kingdom, you have to have a king. And he was sharing that God was our king and how the fact that we're here today, 2,000 years later, well, after Jesus, we can't just act as if we don't have a king, that Jesus is our king and still need to submit to him. So that's the main thing with that.
Yeah. All right. Bill.
I think one thing that really impacted me was when Harold gave that illustration about one person fulfilling all that those prophecies. And they illustrate that over 300 prophecies about Jesus, he fulfilled them all. And that should give us great assurance that God is in control of all this. And so that kind of illustration just really helped me solidify that in my heart.
Amen. Amen. I liked the part of Harold's class, and he put up a picture and everything, when he talked about King Solomon. You remember the throne room of King Solomon and all the cool stuff that King Solomon did and what an impressive king he was. And that's sort of what the Jews had in mind, that the Messiah was supposed to be. It was going to be a king like King Solomon. But that's not what Jesus turned out to be. That's not what the prophecy said. And that's not who Jesus turned out to be. I thought that was a really cool part, contrasting, you know, King Solomon and that kind of king to the kind of king Jesus really, really is. Anybody else? Okay. Yes, Alan.
I think it's striking how far off faith could appear to be the use of law and understanding the Old Testament. You never hear the one person go to death. And that's kind of a warning to us to be careful about how we.
Amen. To be humble. We can get it wrong or we can miss stuff. Yes.
How long the kingdom is meant to take. that I'm part of something that has started in the creation. It's almost like going with your manifest and where you're going.
Amen. Amen. Realize how big and how long. Okay, well, let's talk about the next part. We spent 7 weeks on the Sermon on the Mount. I think that was the part of the class that affected me the most in just preparing and teaching and listening to it. What affected you the most from the Sermon on the Mount?
I thought it really cool how they build on each other. So, you know, you work on the first one, and then you work on the second one, and you just keep going down. It was really cool.
Amen. Not just random stuff. It builds. It builds. Yes, sir.
It's really challenging, right? I go through my life and living the way that the Sermon on the Mount says, it would make me stand out, right? It would challenge me. It's just I think what impacted me the most was just listening again to the whole concept of turn the other cheek. And what that really means and why that makes sense. To me, that was really challenging. Again, it's just reaffirmation about how different the life we're supposed to live is, how clearly we stated how different that was supposed to be. And there's really no excuse not to live that way. We're called really high, and it's really challenging to look at.
Amen. Every time I read the Sermon on the Mount, I'm like, oh yeah. It is a high calling. It is not just aspirational, like Perry just said. Jesus really wants us to live that way. That's a challenge. Barb.
I thought it was cool to me. What I did was after we did the Sermon on the Mount, or while I was studying it, I went ahead in Matthew and read more about some of the things that Jesus taught, and he really built on those teachings. To kind of look at it from that aspect, is that this is just more of the same. To listen to it that way and apply it that way, I thought this was really refreshing, and it helped to kind of solidify it.
Yeah. There are definitely echoes of the sermon throughout the rest of the book of Matthew and then on into the rest of the New Testament. Stephen.
I like how we went through it. God sets this such a high standard, as y'all were saying, for us, and then he goes on to... He helps us get to that standard. He enables us to go beyond what we could alone to reach that. He's like, this is the standard that I have to do, and I'm going to help you get there.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Jeff.
I think the one class I got to listen on the one class on Love Your Enemies. And I think what I saw was how pervasive the influence of our popular culture is, and even, you know, our society, and just how stark his teachings on that are, that he kind of, you know, again, reiterating that he really expected me and really expects me to live that way. And, you know, it's like, in doing that, I will be different.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, there's so many forces around me that tell me that's just aspirational. It's not really something that's expected. I can find myself fighting that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Steve?
One thing that stood out to me was not only was Jesus telling us how to live, but also there is the kingdom promises that if you live this way, you know, the kingdom will be ours. You know, we shall be comforted. We shall inherit the earth. We shall be satisfied. So, you know, we shall receive mercy. We shall see God. And, you know, we shall be called sons of God. So, you know, those are promises that are there for us to put an anchor on. They are fundamental. Those are things that will really keep us grounded if we follow.
Amen. Yeah, I think in the past I always thought of the Beatitudes as just poetry or something, but like Steve just said, to really focus on the promises that are there, they're very encouraging. They're very encouraging, and they help me to be motivated to put it into practice. Well, amen. Let's go to the third part of the class, the last few weeks. We've looked at a lot of parables. John Gerard started us a few weeks back on parables, and Ron did parables, and then we looked at other teaching of Jesus. Joseph taught a class, Bill taught a class, I taught a class on different teachings about Jesus in the second half of the book of the Matthew. What there do y'all want to comment on, or something you learned? Joseph?
I think if you look at it from just a worldly perspective, the parables will go right over your head. And it did for the people at that time, it does for us today. To really think of it spiritually, then you really get to understand what Jesus is trying to show and trying to get all of us to understand.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? GK.
I feel like the reason why he used parables is because to get us to understand it more simply and to see the seriousness of our lives, every single one of our lives, that we're not just here for a waste of time. He wants us to really pay attention. And he used how he used the parables to focus that seriousness.
So. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, the parables in John 13 are mostly about the kingdom growing. Yeah. They're very encouraging that the kingdom is growing. But then when you get to the end, and it's mostly like during the last week or so, the parables get very serious. You know, they're about judgment. They're about being ready for judgment. Or they're about the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders missing out on the Messiah. You know, they're very serious. So I really noticed that as we were putting the class together. Diane?
I love the point that Ron made about the wedding banquet and how you have to have on wedding clothes. And if you didn't have on wedding clothes, then everybody knew that you was crashing the party. And the point that he made is we can't fool the king, we can't fool God. And that we have to come to the kingdom of God on God's terms, not on our terms.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I need to wrap up the class here. I'm sure we could have more comments, but thank you. So how many people in general like the Kingdom of God class? Okay, most people. Okay, it's okay if you didn't or you weren't here and you're visiting. That's fine, too. Okay, now, you know, when we study the Bible with people, we have a sort of a set series of studies we go through. We talk about the Word of God. We talk about discipleship. We talk about sin and repentance and Jesus on the cross. And one of the studies is the kingdom study. Okay, raise your hand if the kingdom study is your favorite study in the study series. Okay, we got 3-4 people. Roxanne was telling me she really loves it. But I noticed that a lot of people didn't raise their hands. And I know the old kingdom study, I know Richard sort of upgraded it and made it a little better recently, but the old kingdom study that most of us are familiar with doesn't really wow most of us, right? It's not the life-changing study like some of the others are. But of course, Jesus' teaching on the kingdom is. And so what I thought I would do is create a whole new kingdom study. And so I have done that. And again, this isn't a straitjacket. It's not like you have to use this. This is just a new kingdom study that I throw out there that I think will help people. It's what I think I would want to teach. I'm going to teach to people that they need to learn most about the kingdom when they're becoming disciples. So I recommend it to you. Of course, you can tweak it. Roxanne said she was going to tweak it. That's fine. You obviously, when you're studying the Bible with somebody, you tailor the study to whatever their needs are the most. But let's go. I don't have a lot of time here, but I'll just go briefly through it. I emailed it to everyone. I had Corey email it to everyone. So if you're on the church email list, you got it in actually more detail than I'm going to go over it today. And I'm actually going to teach it to the equipping class with the campus tomorrow night in more detail than we're going to do today. I thought I'd give you all the big picture today so you can sort of get a taste for it. And then you can go back and look at it. And if you're not on the church email list and you would like a copy, we made some copies. Did we bring them this morning? We forgot to bring them. Okay. Dan's raising his hand.
Website?
Oh, it'll be on the website, too. And then maybe Wednesday night we'll bring some copies. So if you want a hard copy and you don't have electronic access, some of us are in that boat still, we'll have some hard copies. Amen? Okay. The New Kingdom Study. What is the goal of the New Kingdom Study? The goal of the New Kingdom Study is to help the person you're studying the Bible with to become part of the kingdom of God, or to want to become part of the kingdom of God. They might not do that in this study, but hopefully the study will make them want to and get a vision for that. And to make Jesus their king. You know, that's what it means to become part of the kingdom of God. It means to make Jesus their king. And that is the focus of the study. Those of us familiar with the old study, the focus of it was, when did the kingdom come? And I thought about it really hard and decided I didn't really care about that question. And I've taught classes. You can go back and listen on my theory. But, you know, I'm not sure that's an important question. But I think the most important question is, you know, making Jesus your king. Do you want Jesus to be your king? Do you want to be a part of the kingdom of God? And so that's the focus of the study. And I also focused it on Jesus. Surprise, the king and the kingdom. When we go through this study, you'll see the day of Pentecost does not make an appearance. And if you love the day of Pentecost, you can add it to the study. But I decided to focus it on Jesus, to focus it on his teaching about the kingdom. And so that's what I did. Okay, prophecy. We start with Old Testament prophecy. Isaiah 9, we won't go through every scripture since we don't have time. But Isaiah 9 is the scripture we often read at Christmas about, to us a child is given, to us a son is born, and he will be given the government. He will sit on David's throne. It will be an eternal kingdom. And it also mentions that the light will dawn. So all those things are in that prophecy, that he will come from Galilee, that he will sit on David's throne, that he will be given a kingdom. And that he will be, it says many things there. He'll be the Prince of Peace. It's a passage most people will be familiar with if they grew up, you know, going to church or going to Christmas service or that sort of thing. And so they'll recognize that it's about Jesus when you're studying the Bible with someone. Okay, and then I switched to Daniel 7, not Daniel 2. No more statues. No more empires or world history lessons, but just Daniel 7, which is the prophecy about the Son of Man appearing before God and being given an eternal kingdom. And it says that the Son of Man will come on the clouds of heaven. And if you wanted to, you could delve into the four empires are also mentioned in Daniel 7. And if you love history, you could cover all that. But I love history, but just didn't think it important in the study. But it's another prophecy where someone like a Son of Man appears before God and is given a kingdom, an eternal kingdom, and that he will appear on the clouds of heaven. Amen? Okay, and then Zechariah 9. Harold taught this scripture in his class as one of the prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus. And Zechariah 9 talks about the king, your king, speaking to the Jews, the Jewish nation, your king, the Messiah, will come riding on a donkey. That he will be humble, that he will preach peace, that he will bring peace and salvation. You know, it's a great prophecy about the Messiah, which is actually quite different from the political Messiah they were expecting. But it's a cool scripture to see. This is what the Messiah is supposed to look like. This is what your king is supposed to look like, and this is how he will enter Jerusalem. He will be riding on a donkey. Very specific prophecy. Okay, and then we turn to the New Testament, and we see how these prophecies are fulfilled, and it also paints a picture of Jesus. So Matthew 21, 1 through 11, that's the triumphal entry. I taught that just a few weeks ago, the class about the Son of David. In that passage, it says he's from Galilee, so that fulfills the Isaiah prophecy. It says he's the son of David, so that fulfills the Isaiah prophecy. And it says he rode in Jerusalem on a donkey. So that fulfills the Zechariah prophecy. Mark 1, 61 and 62, Jesus is on trial. Did I say Mark 1? That's not Mark 1. That's a typo. It's a bad typo. It's Mark. It's near the end of Mark. Mark 14. Sorry about that. Mark 14, Jesus before the high priest. The high priest asks him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" And he says, "Yes, and you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven." So Jesus quotes the Daniel prophecy and says, "I am him. I am the man. I am the Son of Man referred to in the Daniel prophecy. And you will see me on the clouds of heaven, coming on the clouds of heaven one day." Of course, that upsets the chief priest and calls for Jesus' death. So that fulfills the Daniel prophecy about the Son of Man. In Matthew 5, we cover the Beatitudes. I think those are the beginning of Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. I think anybody becoming a disciple should be taught those. And so we will teach the Beatitudes. And in there, we will see that Jesus preaches peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. He preaches mercy. Blessed are the merciful. We will see in that passage the fulfillment of the prophecy from the Old Testament that the Messiah would be the Prince of Peace, that he would be someone who proclaims peace. And you see Jesus doing that in the Beatitudes. And then we will look at Matthew 28, just like we just did, and talk about Jesus having all authority, talking about making disciples of all nations, talking about it lasting to the end of the age. So there you see the kingdom going to all nations, which was also mentioned in Daniel, and lasting to the end of the age, being an eternal kingdom. And then Revelation 21, 22, I'll actually read, we got one more minute. Let's turn to Revelation 22. We will actually cover this in a few weeks. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the city, middle of the street of the sea, and either side the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So we see here the eternal kingdom of God fulfilled. We'll be a part of it. His servants, his disciples, those who follow him will be there. He will be on his throne. God, the Lamb, Jesus, will be on the throne, and the eternal kingdom will last forever. Amen? So then we will ask, if we're studying the Bible with someone, do you see the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together? You see how the prophecies come true. We could obviously use many more of the 300 prophecies, but I picked these. So hopefully that will build their faith, that they can see the prophecies came true in Jesus. But specifically prophecies about the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is. They get a picture for the kingdom of God, what it's like. And then you ask, do they want to be a part of the kingdom of God? Do they want to be a part of this kingdom that Jesus brought? Do they want Jesus to be their king? Amen? Hopefully they say yes. And then Matthew 6:33, which says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." So we look at that. What does that mean? What does that mean to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? You make it a priority in your life. You seek it first, above other things. It's first on your list of priorities. And what does that mean for you personally? What do you need to change? If you're going to seek God's kingdom first, what do you need to change? And then we close out with Matthew 6:10, which has been the theme scripture for our class. And what does Jesus say to do? He says to pray for the kingdom of God to come, and for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So pray. Yeah, you know, pray for the kingdom of God to come in your life. Pray for you to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Pray this for yourself. Pray this for other people, and God will answer. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's our class. We've run out of time. So let's go get our kids and come back for church. Amen.